Hi, everyone in River Marlow Church family. And it really is lovely to be with you today. And it's been great so far, this whole restful atmosphere that we're in. And as we talk now a little bit about the practice of Sabbath as part of your Holy Habits series, there's a quote that I was going to use a little later on, but I'll just use now. People who keep the Sabbath live all 7 days differently. And really that's what we're exploring today, that as part of our spiritual lives, the holy habit or spiritual practice of Sabbath, how that makes a difference in us for all the 7 days of the week that we live. And, you know, for me, this has been a real personal journey. It's something where I've done a complete U-turn. Honestly, because I didn't understand Sabbath, I thought, I don't need Sabbath. That's something that's surely for biblical times, definitely monks, but not me. I think also I had encountered some people who practiced Sabbath and who did it in such a rigid, legalistic way that it seemed to be more about restriction than about freedom. But as I've explored it, and at the tail end of 2019, I really felt the Lord challenge me around Sabbath. And so I and actually the Maynard leadership team, we committed together during 2020 to begin practicing and exploring Sabbath. And honestly, it's been life transforming. And so today really is an invitation to all of you into this practice of Sabbath, which truly is exciting. It's life-giving and it is transforming. In that spoken word, which is so brilliant, wasn't it? You know, it referred to the fact that in all of us, there is this restlessness that we try to feed through doing, acquiring, striving. I think partly, you know, that's our human condition. You know, we have these needs for acceptance, security and significance. And if we don't find them in the Lord, then we go along with a culture which shouts at us to meet those needs by the speed we live at or the stuff we acquire, the things we do or the people that we try to impress. And it's a bit of an exhausting life. And, you know, one writer described us as perhaps the most emotionally exhausted, psychologically overworked, spiritually malnourished people in history. And another writer says, because we do not rest, we lose our way. We miss the compass points that would show us where to go. We bypass the nourishment that would give us strength. We miss the quiet that would give us wisdom, and we miss the joy and love born of effortless delight. We are poisoned by a hypnotic belief that good things only come through unceasing determination and tireless effort, so we never truly rest. And for want of rest, our lives are in danger. And that's quite sobering, really. But Jesus offers us a way of living, a different way of living that brings rest to our souls. A familiar scripture from Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I love the Amplified Bible. It adds a bit at the end. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. So, this way of living that Jesus offers us, how do we find that and experience it? And truly, I do believe that a real key in that for us is the practice of the holy habit of Sabbath. So let me give you a definition of Sabbath. The word Sabbath actually means to stop. To stop. Stop working, wanting, worrying. And so the practice of Sabbath is 24 hours to stop, rest, delight, and contemplate God. I'll say that again. The practice of Sabbath is 24 hours to stop, rest, delight, and contemplate God. And, you know, Sabbath is actually a radical spiritual discipline in the midst of a culture that knows nothing about stopping for 24 hours or about delighting in God. It means that we take our hands off the world, we entrust it to God, and we allow his love to renew us and bring us to a place of deep soul rest. So let's just talk about three things. We're going to talk about what Sabbath isn't, what Sabbath is, and some of the barriers that we face to Sabbath. And then just as I finish, I'll get really practical about how you can begin the practice of Sabbath if it's not something that's part of your life already. So, first of all, Sabbath isn't. It isn't an irrelevant Jewish Old Testament law. It isn't an extra burden to be a good Christian. Jesus in Mark 2 says, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people, not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. It's not a burden. Sabbath isn't just a day off. It is so much deeper and richer than that if we practice Sabbath well. And Sabbath isn't necessarily Sunday. Sabbath has got a bit lost in our Christian tradition and it has become associated with church, which can be a work day for some of us, but Sunday anyway can be a work day for people. So it isn't necessarily Sunday. But what is Sabbath? I've got 3 points for you. Sabbath is, first of all, a gift from God. I read this quote. The Sabbath is the most precious present mankind has received from the treasure house of God. You know, it's a God-ordained way to slow us down for meaningful connection with God, ourselves, and those we care about, just like Jill was talking about in her video. And Sabbath actually honours the fact that you and I are finite beings with limits. And we need replenishment. But more than that, it allows us to delight in God for God's own sake. So it's a gift. Secondly, it's a way of ordering our lives around God's rhythm. We know, don't we, from the Bible, God worked 6 days and rested on the seventh. We read that in the creation story in Genesis 1. And I just think, you know, if God lived like that, Jesus lived like that, and me, a finite human being, how can I possibly think that I can live without that rhythm in my life? Let me take you to Exodus 20, where the Lord says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, and you shall not do any work. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. That word consecrated, he set it apart. Sabbath is a special day that God has specifically blessed. When time slows, your spirit relaxes and joy and peace flow back into your soul. If we don't practice Sabbath, then we miss the blessing of all of that on one of the days of our week, a day specifically filled with the blessing of God. I don't want to miss that, and for too many years, I have done. And thirdly, Sabbath keeping is spiritual resistance. Here's a quote for you. Sabbath keeping is a radical statement that we are not God and that we trust him to hold the world together while we stop for one day a week. Sabbath keeping really is a kind of spiritual warfare in our culture. You know, our culture defines me by what I do. It tells me to keep going at speed, working, acquiring, consuming, being in control 24/7. And when I practice Sabbath, I'm actually resisting the enemy of my soul, who goads me to keep on working, to get self-esteem, value, meaning out of performance and control. Do you remember the story of the Israelites in Egypt, who in slavery, and they worked and never stopped and never rested and they never delighted? God brought them out of that slavery to work and gave them the Sabbath to stop, to rest, and to delight in him. And so it is with us. So if Sabbath is so great, all those things that it is, why don't we do it? What are some of the barriers? And I just have a few thoughts on this, certainly from my own life. I think, first of all, we just don't appreciate how key it is for us in living healthy, God-centered lives. And how, as I said, when we live the Sabbath day, it enables us to live all 6 days differently. I think we kind of might know it's important, but we kind of stubbornly go on our own way. And we just sort of rely on the fact that, well, we live in grace and it's fine. We don't need to do it. I think also it's hard to do in our culture. It is a challenge to incorporate into our busy lives. But honestly, I am living proof that you can do it. And just as we've been talking about, I think another barrier is spiritual opposition. Who could you be if you kept Sabbath and rested, drawing close to God, recalibrating your inner world every 7 days? Who could we be if we did that? I think there's another maybe insidious thing that stops us from doing it, and that's fear. You know, Sabbath can be frightening because doing nothing productive can leave us feeling vulnerable. Our busyness, our overworking hides our inner feelings of inadequacy and worthlessness. If we keep busy, then we don't have to listen to the voices that tell us that we aren't enough simply in who we are as ourselves. But you know, we can recognise the barriers, and you can think about the barriers that you might have in your life to practising Sabbath if it's not something that you do, and ponder them with Holy Spirit and work through them, because it is so worth pursuing. So let's get practical. How can we begin to practise Sabbath? Here's a brilliant quote for you. Do not make Sabbath keeping a weighty exercise. Explore it with delight, as though you and God are learning together how to make the day special for both of you. Then be as intentional about protecting it as you can be, but don't become rigid and legalistic about it, because that ruins the spirit of the day. I love that. Explore it with delight, as if you and God are learning together how to make the day special for you both. So I would really encourage you to explore the subject of Sabbath, to read some books about it, to allow your soul to become hungry for this beautiful gift, rather than just deciding to do it out of kind of cold obedience because I've done a talk on it and that's what you're talking about this week in Marlow. You could read Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, John Mark Comer's book. He talks a lot about Sabbath in there, and will give you some other books as well that you can read. I'd really encourage you to explore it. Once you've decided this is something that I want to go for, decide which 24 hours of the week is going to be your Sabbath. For Jonathan and for me, it's 6 p.m. Saturday. Sorry, it's not. It's 6 p.m. Friday to 6 p.m. Saturday. And I can't tell you how much I look forward to 6 o'clock on Friday evening. And I mark it by giving the time to God, by powering down, phone on silent, got to be honest, gin in hand. And I stretch out to enjoy rest and replenishment with my Father God over the next 24 hours. It's a really good moment. You need to decide what things are important for you in helping you to stop so that you can rest, delight, and worship in body, mind, and spirit. Remember, it's not just a day off, but a day set apart for God and blessed by Him. So Jonathan and I, we stopped work, paid work and unpaid work. Jill talked, didn't she, about getting stuff done so she doesn't have to do it on her Sabbath day. We stopped buying, we stopped worrying, we stopped phones, computers, social media. It does mean that the rest of the week needs to be planned in advance quite well so that you can get that time. And then we just include the things that really restore our bodies, feed our souls, replenish our spirits, things that enable us to connect deeply with God and delight in His creation. So it'll be a different list for you. For me, sleep, nice food, walks in creation, reading, time with friends and family, our garden, love being out in our garden, music, candles, prayer, reflection time, time alone. Jonathan will usually go out for a long ride on his bike. I love reading and even a bit of Netflix in there. And what I think is really important is that we practice and experiment without guilt and annoyance at getting it wrong. It could take you a year or more to begin to settle into a new rhythm. But, you know, be adaptable as your life seasons change. Families, oh, wow, families experiment together, give one another space and time, family time together. I wish I had done this seriously when my kids were younger. And as a family, we could enjoy this beautiful rhythm that my kids could be taking into their lives now as young adults. So let me bring this to a conclusion. Sabbath comes with a warning. It does mess with you once you start to pursue it. I have come to long for it. A day that stretches out without agenda, focused on rest and replenishment, doing the things that draw me close to God and bring me joy and wholeness. As I've said, I genuinely look forward to its arrival. I can feel that I'm being restored. And I'm able to get through a busy week because I know Sabbath's coming, and I'm able to face the week to come with a joy and a strength that I know I've gained from that Sabbath day. There really is an excitement in my heart now when I think about Sabbath. Let me finish by reading you a scripture from Isaiah 58. And it says this. It's the Lord speaking, and he says, if you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honourable, if you honour it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I love that verse. I love the promise from the Lord. Then you shall take delight in the Lord. Our lives become centered on delighting in God. What a great way to live. And I'll make you ride on the heights of the earth. For me, that just sort of speaks of the fact that our earthly lives then become places of victory and triumph. We're coming at it from the right place. If you honour the Sabbath, you take delight in the Lord and you ride on the heights of the earth. So I would really encourage you to contemplate incorporating the spiritual practice of Sabbath, the holy habit of Sabbath, into your lives. And I think now Paul and Sarah are going to lead us in a quiet, reflective time where you can allow Holy Spirit to speak to you on this very subject.